Hey everyone! In today's lesson, we're going to dive into a few different ways of eating, different styles of eating. Everyone has their own unique style, but there are certain styles that many of us adhere to. The most important thing to remember is that any good diet, and when I say diet, I mean a diet, not like you are on a diet, but your diet, because everyone has a diet. Everyone eats, so everyone has a diet. All healthy diets, even if they appear in theory to be very different, are actually very similar. For example, if you're a vegan or you're following the paleo diet, if you're following those diets in a healthy, responsible way, you're eating real foods, you're getting healthy fats, you're getting lean sources of protein, you're getting lots of fruits and vegetables, you're eating all these real foods and you're avoiding lots of sugars, packaged processed foods, unhealthy fats. You're staying away from a lot of artificial ingredients and added chemicals. So even different types of diets that, again, appear very different in theory, really, at the end of the day, many different styles of diets, when followed responsibly and adhere to in a healthy manner, are very similar. If you're considering a specific style of eating, my job is to help you go through the pros, the cons, and the mistakes and challenges that may come up when following that plan. Let's look at a vegetarian and vegan style of eating. I am a huge fan of incorporating vegetarian and or vegan meals into your diet. I don't believe that you have to be vegan or vegetarian to be a healthy person, but I believe that incorporating vegan and vegetarian meals into your diet is a very healthy thing to do. Let's say you want to go vegan or vegetarian. The first thing you have to really think about is, why are you doing this? You have to really remember and remind your clients to dive into that and really spend time thinking about it, because sometimes styles of eating become very trendy and popular, and people have friends doing something or they heard of a celebrity doing something, so they want to go for it, but they're not really considering why they're doing it. So think about it. Why might you be going vegan or vegetarian? Do you want to lower your cholesterol? Do you want to improve your energy? Do you want to feel better? Do you want to just do something extreme? Or do you want to lose weight? Or are there ethical reasons why you want to do it? You have to really tap into that to know and understand your motivation, because that will help you with your commitment. Because any style of eating, if you're going to adhere to it specifically, is going to take a certain level of commitment. People that follow this plan are consuming more fruits and vegetables. They're getting more fiber in their diet. They're consuming less cholesterol. They reduce their risk for diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and in general, they are lower weight. And those are just a few of the benefits of going vegetarian or vegan. So let's look at a few of the cons. The biggest con with going vegetarian or vegan is not being a responsible vegetarian or vegan. And that is so easy to happen. I can't tell you how many people I have seen come into my office saying that they are a vegan, and I see that they're drinking a lot of diet soda, and they're eating a lot of pasta and pretzels. They're not getting enough protein. They're not getting enough calcium. They're not getting enough omega-3s. They are not an overall healthy person. And often those people that are vegans like that are also overweight, because they're consuming too many carbohydrates. So now they've taken all the meat out of their diet, but they're eating carbohydrates and oftentimes filling the gap in their day because they're hungry with refined carbohydrates, which we know are not good for us for a variety of reasons as well. So if you decide to be a vegan or vegetarian, you have to commit to being a responsible vegetarian or vegan. Some of the nutrients that you may be deficient in are B12, calcium, and omega-3s. You'll see attached to this lesson a whole list of ways to get those nutrients in plant ways. Something else to consider when you're going plant-based is you really want to think about it. Are you doing this, and is this something that you absolutely have to do 100%? Are you never going to eat a meat-based meal again? And that's something to consider, because many people decide to go vegetarian or vegan and that's it. They would rather dive into a huge bowl of pasta, white pasta, processed with all sorts of junk in it, than eat, let's say, a lean piece of organic beef. You want to be open-minded and don't sabotage yourself by putting yourself under these strict guidelines, which you may not even necessarily feel like you have to follow, but it was just sort of what you kind of ended up starting to do because you decided to follow a new eating plan. So think about all of those things before you start your new plan. So you want to go raw. What do I think about that? I think that that is incredibly ambitious, and I think that there are many pros to a raw food diet. First of all, in case you're not clear with what a raw food diet is, people that follow a raw food diet eat 75% of their diet from foods that are not cooked above 115 degrees. There are many benefits to raw foods, and there are many benefits to cooked foods. Raw foods do retain many nutrients that are lost in the process of cooking. Many cooked foods, however, actually increase their nutritional value in the cooking process. I personally believe that you should have a combination of raw foods and cooked foods for the reasons that there are many nutrients that are found in raw foods that aren't found in cooked foods and vice versa. You do retain overall probably more of the nutritional value in raw foods than you do in cooked foods overall. However, it's also very difficult to get all these raw foods into your diet. And I just find that it is incredibly difficult for people to get fruits and vegetables into their diet to begin with. Worrying about being on an all raw food diet just increases that challenge. So for those of you out there and for your clients out there that are already living at a really high level of nutrition and are already eating lots of fruits and vegetables and spend a lot of time in the kitchen, because if you are going to be a raw foodist, you need to do a lot of preparation. And perhaps these people also don't dine out a lot. It's difficult to follow an all raw food diet if dining out and traveling is part of your lifestyle. It just makes it more challenging. But if you are the type of person that is in the kitchen and loves to prepare and is purchasing, going to the farmer's market and buying all these organic foods and is already at a really high level of nutrition. And you also have to be a responsible raw foodist, similar to being a responsible vegan or vegetarian, because it is more difficult to meet all of your needs, including your protein needs, your B12, your calcium, your omega-3s. It's very difficult to do that through a raw food diet. But if you are committed to doing that, it can be a really healthy way. So for many people, going raw is just too extreme. But again, know your audience, know yourself. If that's something that you think you can commit to, then go for it. But for most people out there, I say, just try to incorporate more raw food into your diet. Add more raw foods throughout your day. Think of different ways. Advise your clients on ways to incorporate raw foods with cooked foods, and you're gonna win. If you're interested in a raw food diet lifestyle, but you do think it's too extreme for you, don't feel like a failure. You're not. Go for it by adding in more raw foods into your diet. There are lots of ways to incorporate more raw foods without doing it 100%. Next, we're gonna talk about a style of eating that has gotten really popular lately, but has been around, well, basically forever, the paleo diet. Many people are following the paleo diet to lose weight. And you know what? You do lose weight. And here's why. The same reason you lost weight on the Atkins diet. But to me, the paleo diet is really the souped up healthy version of the Atkins diet. Things I love about the paleo diet, lots of fruits and vegetables. I also love that there are lots of healthy fats and lots of lean protein. And the type of lean protein you eat is also mostly from wild fish and grass-fed beef. So yes, you're going to lose weight because you're taking out candy, cookies, baked goods, pastas, all those refined products. You're taking out all packaged and processed foods, which I'd want you to do on any type of a diet you're following. So for many reasons, the paleo diet, I think, is great because it's forcing you to get in those healthy fats, the fruits and the vegetables and lean protein, and also having you take out a whole lot of junk that we're eating in this modern, not paleo, time. But that does not mean that there are no drawbacks to the paleo diet. The problems I have with the paleo diet are that they also take out all legumes. I happen to love legumes. I love chickpeas and black beans. They're a great way to get in antioxidants and fiber and protein. And just like I told you all those benefits of a vegetarian and vegan diet, legumes is a great way to have a vegetarian meal. And as I mentioned before, reducing your meat-heavy meals and adding in more vegetarian meals has many health benefits, even if you're not vegetarian or vegan. So by following a paleo diet, you do miss out on that. But that's not to say you can follow a paleo version that's your own and incorporate legumes into your diet. I also don't think that you need to take dairy out of your diet completely. Dairy is a great way to get in protein and calcium, and unless you have an intolerance or an allergy, you really don't need to take dairy out completely. I happen to think that incorporating Greek yogurt into your diet and maybe staying away from milk and having other non-dairy milk sources like hemp milk and almond milk is a great balance. The final thing to be aware of with paleo is similar to what people did when they were following Atkins. When people were following Atkins, they thought, oh, I can just eat as much as I want. And getting into that mindset of you can stuff yourself and be gluttonous is never a good idea, even when you're eating healthy foods. So if you are following paleo, I don't want you to ever think you can have as much grass-fed beef as you want. You still need to listen to your body. You still need to stop when you're slightly satisfied, and you still need to eat the right proportion of nutrients. I don't want you sitting down to a big 20-ounce piece of steak and no vegetables. Something to consider with following the paleo diet, which you should really consider with any diet you're thinking about following, is what really works for you? What types of foods can you not live without? And what types of foods do you overindulge in? If you overindulge in things like pasta and breads and you want to follow something in a little bit more of an extreme way to get you away from that, then the paleo diet might be a great start for you. But the paleo diet also doesn't allow any grains. And that might set you up to, well then, overconsume big bowls of pasta and binge on that. So perhaps a paleo diet with small portions of some ancient grains that are good for you and provide you with some of those B vitamins and protein, like a quinoa, might be the way to go. So consider your likes, your dislikes, your needs, your diet history, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and adjust your plan, whether it's paleo or vegan, accordingly for you. No matter who you are, you're watching this video because you're a lover of health and you want to spread the message of health. You want to help people live their healthiest life. One thing that's really super important is to remember who you are, and the plan that you follow is not necessarily the exact plan that someone that you're helping should follow, but that doesn't mean you can't help them. I always like to meet people where they are, honor who they are, honor their culture, honor their diet history, honor their lifestyle and their food likes and dislikes, and then help them take it up a notch. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be exactly what you do. So always remember, you can educate people and you can even tell people what you do. People are going to ask you questions about what you do. What do you eat for breakfast? What type of plan do you follow? Are you vegan? People ask me if I'm vegan all the time. But I think that it's really important for you to remember what you do is perfectly fine. And if you're at a certain extreme level, or maybe you're not at an extreme level, wherever you are, you have to know who you are in relation to the person you're helping. And always try to meet people where they are and just raise their nutrition up a notch without judgment by honoring who they are and where they are. Educating people in nutrition is somewhat like parenting. You can have your own parenting philosophy, but you are always going to parent each child a little bit differently.